first verse of the 60th chapter of Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gathered together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away. Your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, of all those from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall be acceptable on my altar, and I will glorify my glorious house." The word of God for the people of God. When you full up on Hennessy, anybody drink Hennessy in here? Am I? Don't raise your hand. Don't say amen. Don't say amen. When you full up on Hennessy and think you king of the world because you could do a few pull-ups, and they pull up with lights behind you, and you feel so small, like what happened to them pull-ups. I swear that swing right there is why all black people are bipolar, not just Kanye. Why y'all talking about him? Because he's trying to be free. You hold it in and die stressed because you're trying to be neat. Why you trying to inherit the earth, trying for power? No wonder I feel jailed, because I'm trying to be meek, trying to love while everybody dying for pub. I don't want what y'all got. Yo, I'm trying to be me, for better or worse, indebted with blessing and curse. How you gonna grow beyond your mess without addressing it first? How you gonna talk about blacks never being able to own but see a black business and laugh? Supporting your own feel like a task. People like watching a crash. White folks should be helping. They too busy being sad and guilty. Why progress feels stalled out? You know why they killed Jesus? Because they called him out. Like, where's Bueller? Where I'm from, people getting work like mules, so ain't nobody paying attention to Mueller. We knew about Trump. In 16, none of us cried, because we knew that all that progressive talk was a lie. Everybody want to live, but ain't nobody trying to die. So on the left, they just trying to take the power from them. Cool with the game, long as you the winning player. It's like nobody read Isaiah. Cool with the game, long as you or somebody you sleeping with ain't dealing with a mandatory minimum or getting wages lifted, or our kids educated instead of separated at the border. New world disorder, that's your diagnosis. You cope with it. I will pray for you. It's like nobody read Isaiah. I'ma be the light. God told me up in Isaiah. It's like nobody read Isaiah. I didn't release music last year, church. And that's fine, you didn't either, right? You didn't put out an album, you didn't put out an album. Clark Jones put out an album. He's a comedian, a very about to be famous comedian. Look him up, Clark Jones. He put out an album, but for the rest of us, you did not put out an album last year. And so it's okay when you got to the end of the year and said, I didn't release any music this year. In fact, I bet that most of you never, in your evaluation of yourself, put the amount of music that you release as a criteria for whether the year was good or not good. Am I right? Your pastor ain't a prophet. This is common sense. This is common sense. I'm not a prophet. Come on, y'all. But it is part of my identity to release music, to make public, to risk what has been written on the walls of my interior heart, to then put that out for you, for somebody, even an old person, to say, I don't like rap, and for me to say, who cares? Have some. You know what you need? You don't like rap? You know what you need? Some rap. I think that's what you need. Your pastor, being beyond your spiritual companion and advisor, or a very public voice here or elsewhere, or an administrator, or when I'm overfunctioning, too much of an administrator, I'm not meeting as much as I did in 2018 and 2019. I'm not doing it because I am also a musician. I only rapped once last year from this pulpit. One time. Are you kidding me? Last year was a difficult year for me. Difficult. It was a watershed moment for me in so many ways. But your pastor is a musician. And last year, up until, well, I had a come to Jesus moment with Jesus. I don't know if any of y'all have ever had a come to Jesus moment with Jesus. But Jesus said to me, Julian, don't lose your rhythm. Well, God knows I can't dance, so that's not what God meant. That's not what God meant. But Jesus said that. That's not what the Holy Spirit meant. Don't lose your rhythm. Like so many movements become words in a world full of words. We begin talking back at the people talking, CNN and Fox. They just talk to each other. We forget that a movement implies rhythm, doesn't it? That we don't just need words, we also need songs, we need dance, we need poems to define these times. Of all the things I learned last year, of all the room for growth that I found in myself like you, my one repentance to God, my one turning to God was not releasing music last year. Now, you don't have to repent when you don't know no better. If you don't know no better, you just say, God, I'm sorry, I ain't gonna do it again. Okay, cool. But when you know better, I'm sorry, God. This year, I'm gonna put out 3 projects. And can't none of y'all stop me. And I'm saying it out loud because I want accountability. Just like when I'm reminding Minister Courtney, Minister Antonia, the other pastoral interns, that the Bible is a book of rhythm. It's not just words, it's a book of rhythm, that our worship is a dance we do together, that all of leadership is music. That's what makes this so sinful. All the perfectly good reasons I have for not doing what God called me to do. That books like Psalms and Proverbs and Isaiah are not in fact books like we call them, but are collections. Albums, if you will, anthologies, and we've turned this symphony of voices and art into what Catherine Henderson, the president of Auburn Seminary, calls a cacophony of voices and noise. Doesn't that feel like life? A cacophony of voices and noise. A cacophony of words. This is the word of God. I'm preaching a word. Y'all, I don't want to preach this year. I don't. I want to sing the truth of God in a strange land. That's what I want to do. Parker Palmer said, let your life speak. No, I want your life to sing the glory of God in everything you do. How will people know that God is real? Because they saw you. Let your life sing. Isaiah is this wonderfully poetic text, and this language, which is often lost, allows for a deeper and wider experience of the love of God. Songs do that. Poetry does that. You can't argue with art. You can't argue with the verse I just did. You can like parts or not like parts, but you can't argue with it. You can simply experience it and allow it to resonate or not, but with what the artist is saying. God, the creator of this universe, the master artist, is saying something to us in Isaiah 60. Something that I believe is so profound and so connected to who we are as a people in 2019. Listen, y'all, this is a God thing, y'all. I'm telling you, listen. This is not a me thing. Other people, not me, decided that the theme for the 125th anniversary of the church would be anchored in the past, beacon to the future. Say that word, beacon. And then I saw this text about light, right? And it was so perfect that I wish I did it on purpose. I almost got up here and took credit for picking Isaiah 60 to start a year where we're going to talk about being a beacon to the future, but I didn't. It's the first in the lectionary. It's just right there. It's been there. I mean, it's a million preachers preaching Isaiah 60 right now, I promise you, right now. But it's a God thing that that would happen, right? Because it has so much to teach us. I am just, like this right here, I don't even have words for this right here. The Spirit just won't leave me alone, church. It won't leave me alone with this text. That I said, oh, we're just going to do one Sunday, it's the lectionary, we're going to do this text the entire month of January. That is how much there are multitudes in seven verses that for four Sundays, that's all we're going to talk about. God is saying something to us. God is preparing us. God is transforming us. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, thick darkness. But that darkness shall not overcome, says the Lord. Many of us feel shrouded in darkness, loneliness darkness, depression darkness, white supremacy darkness. But that darkness, says our God, shall not overcome, shall not rule the day. Some of us have even given voice to the darkness and now need to stop in 2019 giving voice to the darkness and begin making way for the light. We have let the darkness speak up too much and need to say to our darkness, shut up. I need God to talk right now. You have spoken in my life for 10 years, 15 years. You have spoken enough. Shut up. It is time for God to speak. Now, some people say you shouldn't say shut up. That's not nice. And I don't want you to be nice to your darkness. Because if you're nice to your darkness will come back. The people of Israel have now been 200 years in the shadows of oppression. First by the Assyrians, then the Babylonians. I mean, we can get used to some darkness, can't we? We can get used to some darkness. We can build our lives around some darkness. Until Israel began to probably just say, you know what, this is just who we are. Maybe this is just who I am. Maybe this is just life. Maybe you've heard yourself say this over the past year, even in the new year, saying, maybe it is what it is. I'll try to do this, this, and this. I'll try to improve in this area. But when it comes to that, it is what it is. And it's okay you said that long as you remember that it's you saying that. That's not God saying that. God is saying, shine, for your light has come. Our darkness, however dark, is ultimately not sovereign and omnipotent. Our darkness is strong, but it is not omnipotent. And sometimes we just need, shut up, darkness. This text is about transformation. I'm about to do something different with you, Israel. I am about to shine on you and cause you to shine on others. Look at the poetry, church. We miss that so much. The Lord will arise on you. That means you're not the light. The light is shining on you. Then nations will come to your light. Look how they are transformed from being shrouded in darkness to being able to see the light to becoming the light themselves. This is a mighty task for the people of God. It's one thing to say, this year I'm going to see the light. And it's quite another to say, I am the light. To lose the insecurity and fear without taking on arrogance in its place. to know that I am the light because this is God's doing. And God spoke it in Isaiah, not because I am worthy, but because God is faithful and has a plan for me, not just to see the light, but to be the light. We are light, church, harmonious lights of different colors. Look around you and see the rainbow. And if we're not careful, we will read this scripture and we will think that it means simply everything that is bad is going to start being good. Right? Because that's what we want. We want everything that's bad, the bad things, we want to become the good things. Now, I hope you do believe that. And I hope it's true, even though my theology doesn't really have space for words like good and bad. That's another sermon. I want it to happen, but that's not what this text is saying. That bad will become good. It's not what this text is saying. It's like nobody read Isaiah. It's saying, Israel, I am going to redeem you. I am going to make you whole again. And I am going to use you to reflect me. It's one thing to say good things are going to happen to me this year. And it's quite another to say I am going to reflect God this year. How's that for a resolution? I am going to reflect God in my actions, in my words, in my decisions, in everything I do. I, in the good and the bad, I am going to try and reflect God. Even when I don't like what's happening to me, I am going to try and reflect God to see the light and then be the light. In other words, to dream bigger this year. I worry about the size of our dreams, church. I worry about what we ask for from God, what we think is possible with God, what we expect of ourselves when we begin setting goals for ourselves, what we commit to because what we think is really possible and what's not possible, how we use our reality and our present circumstances to circumvent our imagination and our true potential. I worry, quite frankly, about a religion that stops at see the light. I worry about the size of our dreams. It's like nobody read Isaiah. What have you planned for yourself this year? What have you assumed will always be the case when you made those plans? I worry about a dream too small. That in hearing this text, we now see that asking us to become light is not only poetic, but miraculous. It's not just about poetry, it's about miracles. Why can't you, church? Why can't you expect miracles this year? Why can't you dream the dreams that God has had for you? Why can't the crisis in this government, the crisis in your family, the crisis in your heart, why can't you find resolution and redemption this year? Why not? Why not, church? Because it's too hard? Did God not say to Abraham, is anything too hard for God? At the appointed time, I will come and visit you about a year from now, and Sarah will have a son. Is God a lie? Many of the miracles that don't happen because we get in the way with our too small dreams. The redemption work that we seek is our responsibility. And where we simply cannot do that work because, God, I have nothing to give, or God, I'm not well right now, then God will meet you in that gap and carry you to the place where you need to be. And that might be you. And you need to know that God will meet you in your brokenness. But many of us don't even try. Because the best that we believe is that we can see the light. But if we are to be a beacon, that does not mean we simply see light. That means that we shine to show the way for others. God is looking at our resolutions to lose weight and saying, what about the health of your mind? What about the health of your spirit? What about the health of your home? What about the health of your relationships? Yes, exercise more, but don't let the dream stop there. The work of finding one's true self of wholeness cannot fit through the door of small dreams. We have seen the light. We have had it revealed unto us, the child Christ. And it is shocking. That's the thing about light. It's not just like, I see the light. But you ever been in darkness for a long time and then flick the light on? It ain't easy, is it? It ain't easy. Just to say, oh, I see the light. Everything's better now. No, light creates shock. And one thing that I'm recognizing in our nation, in our community, even in this church, the shock of the light has hit our faces. And maybe it happened in November 2016, and the shock of the light. I didn't know the world was like this. We are shocked by the state of this world. My white brothers and sisters are shocked by how long they've participated in their whiteness. We are shocked at what we know about ourselves, the damage that is possible. Ooh, we can do some damage, can't we? We can hurt some people. The damage that not only is possible, but the damage we have done. I have seen the light, and it has shocked me. But the promise of Epiphany is not the promise that it will be revealed. No. Jesus grows and shines in his life and ministry, and then Jesus is murdered. And the promise of Epiphany is that the truth that we see is the truth that we must embody. The Jesus we love is the Jesus we must embody. Embody, meaning in all of our doing and being, not just something we use words about, but our actions and all of our life tries to emulate the love of God, the love that we felt when we first felt God love us. Ooh, you remember that moment? When you first knew that somebody loved you and wouldn't stop loving you? I ain't talking about a person. I'm talking about when you felt God love you. And you knew that no matter what happened in this world, that you were going to be okay because you were beloved. The peace that God gives us, that must enter us so deeply this year that it might even take another year for us to begin to shine it with others, because we just got to spend this year embodying it. We got to spend this year just working on some darkness in our life and telling it to shut up so we can start working on things so that we can be the light. I'm not saying you're going to shine today. Somebody shine on the Bears if you can. I'm not saying we're going to shine today. It might take us some time, but be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself and know how patient God is with you, no matter how far away you are from God. When you make a move in that direction, no matter how small, there is a response. To love with the love of God, to hope with the hope of God, to challenge with the challenge of God. Ah, our resolutions are too small. I'm sorry, I think that's what the point is, right? That you got to go back and make some new resolutions now. So that we can begin to believe in ourselves as much as God believes in us. We have failed to trust ourselves as much as God trusts us. Our lights flicker on and off because we have failed to prepare ourselves to receive a light that always shines, to reflect it back. And yet God says to Israel, and all their brokenness and sin, and all their iniquity and brokenness, God says to Israel, let's do this. Get ready, Israel. Prepare yourself. Transformation and nothing less. Transformation and nothing less. Say that about your life. Transformation and nothing less. Say that about your home. Transformation and nothing less. Say that about our nation. Transformation and nothing less. We will not settle for injustice. Transformation and nothing less. That is the dream of God, and anything less is is improper for us to believe in and to practice as the people of God. Amen? Amen. To look at our lives and then to expect to be made whole. To expect to be made whole and then to do the work to get there. Anything less is the gospel of somebody, but it is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know no other gospel. So in the silence, think. What do we need to do to prepare? What do we need to sustain us this year? And what do we need to do to move even the slightest step closer where we know that God will respond?